Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles 20, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them, and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Barakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavah of Marishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works." And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. We're rejoicing up until about verse 37, aren't we? It's a great chapter. It's a wonderful chapter about what proper civil authority looks like. Jehoshaphat is the king of the land. And as the king of the land, notice what he does. He's got a responsibility. His responsibility is to protect the land. One of the things that kings did in Israel, the job that the Lord gave them was to, quote, go out and come in. And to go out and to come in meant to take the army out into the field and defend Israel when they were under any kind of threat. And then to come in, that is, to bring in all of those goods and things that were necessary for the prospering of the nation, to go out and to come in. Civil authority, scripturally handled, is very limited, right? It's very limited. Many people would be afraid, let me say it that way, many people would be afraid of a biblically ordered civil government because, you know, I don't have a safety net. The truth of the matter is there's actually a better safety net in God's kind of government because it is local, it is affectionate, it is intimate, it's based in your family and in your church. It's not based in a civil government that is removed from you, right? That takes away $10 and gives back $2, that kind of thing. So biblical civil authority is very limited, which we will see, Lord willing, next hour in Romans chapter 13. Okay, so they tell Jehoshaphat there's a great company coming. We're not told the numbers, but we are told that the army that Jehoshaphat took out in the field with him was not able to carry the spoil back even after 3 days of gathering it. So let's say that it was one for one. You could take all of the spoil that was on one soldier that was laying on the ground, dead of your enemies, and put it on yourself and walk home. If it was one for one, they could carry all that home. But they couldn't. So that says that they were highly outnumbered. That even after 3 days of gathering spoil, they still couldn't carry all of it away. So they were very much outnumbered. Jehoshaphat will say in his prayer, who can stand against this great multitude? So what does Jehoshaphat do? Well, he does the right thing. He calls upon the name of the Lord. He proclaims a fast throughout Judah. He gathers all of the people together in Jerusalem, and he prays in their presence. Can we pray for that kind of civil authority? We would love that kind of civil authority, wouldn't we? What happens today when we're under threat? Chest thumping. We've got this armament. We've got this horse. We've got this chariot. We've got this tank. We've got this bomb. We've got this plane. We've got this ship. All of those things are weak and beggarly things in the face of the Lord. But that's what we thump our chest about. There's no chest thumping here. There's humility. That's what fasting is. It's a statement of humility. I am not worthy to eat. I'm going to put away my meager necessities to call upon the name of the Lord here. And so he proclaims a fast throughout all Judah, and he gathers, and he stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, just like his predecessor Solomon did at the dedication of that very temple. And what did he do? He called upon the name of the Lord. And when he called upon the name of the Lord, we will note that Jehoshaphat is familiar with the Old Testament that had been written up until that time. He speaks of Abraham, thy friend. Abraham, thy friend. Genesis 18:18. Why is Abraham called the friend of God? What does it mean to be God's friend? Well, remember Genesis 18:18 and what the Lord muses out loud. Shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm going to do? That is with regard to Lot and Sodom. Right? And the answer to the question that's implicit in the passage is no, I'm not going to hide. Because that's what friends do. They reveal themselves. They reveal what they're going to do. Jesus will say, I'm not calling you servants anymore. I'm calling you friends because I've revealed to you what I'm going to do. John 15:14. Abraham is called the friend of God. Jehoshaphat knows that, and he includes that in his prayer. Jehoshaphat remembers from 1 Kings chapter 8, it's been recorded, he's read it, he's heard about it. In fact, it's a part of his duty to have a copy of the scriptures in his presence, in his court, that he might read in it all the days of his life, and that he might learn to rule according to that. And so he remembers 1 Kings chapter 8 and the dedication of the temple and what Solomon prayed for that day, and he uses that to pray in his day for the same thing. Solomon prayed, if we're attacked by our enemies and we come to this house and we approach thee in this house, then hear from heaven and preserve us from our enemies. Well, that's what Jehoshaphat's doing. So he also reveals a knowledge of the Pentateuch. He says that God rules over all of the heathen kingdoms. He understands God's sovereignty. So his prayer is a model prayer, one that the people of God should have been very encouraged by in that day. There are several things that he says there that are worthy of note. He remembers the Pentateuch and the travels of the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. We'll remember that they came out, they had their 1 year with God, it was time to go into the land, they failed at Kadesh Barnea, they didn't go, and so they spent the next 39 years wandering around the desert. And then when they came into the land of promise, they didn't come in from the south. They went over across Jordan, right, to the east of Jordan, let me do this for you, to the east of Jordan, and they came up the eastern side of Jordan, and they inserted in Gilgal. That means that they had to pass by Seir, Mount Seir, that's Esau's land. It meant also that they had to pass through Ammon and Moab. And the Lord said to them, you don't attack those nations. not because he didn't want them fighting on that side of Jordan, because we remember that Og, the king of Bashan, and Sihon, they were both brought down farther north. But Seir, Ammon, and Moab were not brought down. Why? Because the Lord said, I've given them that land. So you pass through those lands and you buy water and food from them. Jehoshaphat knew that, and he prayed about that. He said, how do they repay us when we passed by them? We didn't attack them. How do they repay us now? By attacking us. We left them alone in their land. How do they repay us? So Jehoshaphat reveals himself to be a man of the book here in his prayers. And it also reminds us how to pray, doesn't it? That all of our prayers should be full of Scripture, just like his were. Okay, so there's that. Now we move on. It says, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Why? Because they all have an interest in it. This isn't just a male thing, right? It's not just the heads of households that meet up and decide. No, everybody's there. In every important act in ancient Israel and in every important act that we see in the church today, everybody's supposed to be there, right? Because that's what the church is. So they're all there. Then in verse 14, how does the Lord answer the fast? He answers it with a prophet. This is high favor. The Lord then raises up a prophet from their midst, a Levite, and well, his message is a good, comforting message. Go out. Don't be afraid. You won't have to fight. You won't engage one of your enemies. The Lord will fight, and they will destroy themselves. Well, that's not really a good battle strategy, is it? You go out, right? I'm going to leave my sword in my sheath. No problem. Not a good battle strategy that when they get to the field of endeavor, what happens? The priests go out first, the unarmed men. And they're praising the Lord, and they go before the army. This is the confidence that they had in the word of the Lord as spoken by his prophet. What was the response that they all had on that day? They all bowed themselves to the ground. They prostrated themselves before the Lord in the presence of his word, and they worshiped him. And also, the Levites did their job and led the people of God in praise, lifting up their voices to the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So they gathered, or Jehoshaphat gathered the people, they fasted, they entreated the Lord. The Lord answered them with a prophet, gave them the encouraging word. So all they had to do then was to go out into the field. And beloved, we see this, don't we, as one of the marvels of God's grace that is shown in Scripture, so that we may understand that once we take up arms ourselves and endeavor to fight a great host, the world, the flesh, and the devil on our own, this is not the way that the Lord has done it. Zechariah, father of John Baptist, will say in his prophecy when his tongue is loosed that we will be delivered from all our enemies and that we will live before the Lord. I think that he may or may not have understood what he was saying there, that the son that was born to him and Elizabeth, who would announce the Messiah who was to come, that he is the one who would fight in the mightiest of spheres and win. That means that all other battles are lesser, and he will win in those two. So what an encouraging word it was for the people of God that day. And so when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army. They sent the priests out to praise first and with the army behind them. And when they began to sing praise, the Lord sent ambushments. And that's when they turned on each other. Ammon and Moab first, because remember, they're brothers historically. And they turned upon Seir, Esau. And then they turned upon each other. And when the Israelite army finally got to the field, everyone was dead. They didn't have to raise a sword or a spear. And so then, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, behold, they looked unto the multitude. Behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Well, the Lord does wondrous things when his people praise him, like he did here. So then the fourth day, they headed home after they had taken home all of the spoil, and they returned everyone. And notice, they didn't just go to their homes. They weren't done. When they returned to Jerusalem after that long march, they stopped at the temple, they gathered everyone together again, and they worshiped the Lord again. You see that? Then they returned every man, Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries, harps, and trumpets to the house of the Lord. So they continued to worship the Lord and to acknowledge the work that they had seen him do. Beloved, they were not forgetful. They didn't say, the job's over, let's go home. They said, the Lord has wrought a great victory, let's praise him before we head home to cool our heels. All right, so then we have the wrapping up of that, that the Lord gave Jehoshaphat rest all around him, that he put fear in the hearts of all of those enemies that were around Judah at that time. And we have the wrap-up of his kingdom in verses 31 through 34. And the only negative thing that the prophet has to say here is that, well, there was a time when the high places were not removed. That as great a king as Jehoshaphat was, he could not get everything done. And he couldn't get everything done, it says, because the people refused to follow him. They had not prepared their hearts to seek the Lord their God. So there is yet some sadness. I wonder, the Bible doesn't say, but it is something that we can wonder about in a godly way. I wonder how that would have grieved the heart of Jehoshaphat to know that there was some bit of the Reformation that he could not get done in that day. So finally, we have verses 35, 36, and 37. Jehoshaphat falls into bad old habits here. He didn't use his success very well in the long term. He used it very well in the short term, but not very well in the long term, because he went back to the northern kingdom and made a league with the son of Ahab. And her name was, with the son of Ahab, his name was Ahaziah, the king of Israel, and he did very, very wickedly. We're gonna find out more about him a little bit later. But the son of Ahaziah, getting the names mixed up. The son of Jehoshaphat in the next chapter is a man by the name of Joram or Jehoram. He's known by both in Scripture. And we'll see that the apple fell very far from the tree, sadly. All right, thus ends the reading of 2 Chronicles.